All right, we see red, we see green. We got a launch, maybe. All right, we're going to be in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. If you are familiar with the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, it's interesting that both chapter 8 and chapter 9 of both books is about giving. How that worked out, I don't know, but the Lord knows. We're going to start off in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 10, as we talk about missions. Now, I'm going to give you a quick introduction for time's sake, where we'll not go all these verses, but you hold your hand in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then flip over and hold your place there and find 1 Corinthians, let's just say chapter 9, as we're going to be in a lot of these. But as we talk about missions, and I know that I may be preaching to the choir, but we all need to hear about it. We need to be encouraged and reminded that there are people in parts of the world that we don't want to go to. We don't even want to visit them. We don't want to go anywhere near them. But God sends somebody, praise the Lord, to those places. And we need to be reminded every year, all the time, about missions. And we need to love missionaries. And how you love missionaries, this will determine how much you love missionaries. I know that you say, well, I can't afford that. This is not about what you can afford. This is about what you say, Lord, if you provide, I promise to give it. This is called faith. It's not called the tithe. It's different. But as we talk about missions and when it started, Acts 13 talks about how missionaries are called. They're called by the Holy Spirit, not by mama or the preacher or anybody else. It's Acts 13:2 says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." The Holy Spirit of God has called them to go somewhere. That's the scriptural way. Now, the next part of missions that's scriptural is they are sent by a local church. If you have a missionary out there that does not have a sending church, he's not a legitimate missionary, and it's unscriptural, and we ought not support him. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying that's not Bible. Why? Acts 13, again, says they were sent out of a church of Antioch. And not only were they sent out of the church of Antioch, but they reported back to that church. They were under the authority of that church. And they never quit being under the authority of that church until they were an established work on their own and stood on their own two feet. That's Bible. So, they were also, by the way, financed by the local church. They did not go at their own expense. If you're in 1 Corinthians also, let's look at chapter 9. They did not go at their own expense. In verse, where did I want to go? Verse 9 or 7. It says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" Well, I mean, what man went to war and paid for his own everything? "Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk of it?" Does that make sense? Yeah, I mean, it's my milk cow. I fed her. I ought to be able to drink the milk from it, right? That makes sense. I worked for it. I ought to be able to partake of it. It goes on and he says, "As is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Or saith he altogether for our sakes, no doubt it is written." He says, in other words, it's written, so you understand this, "that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. If we have sworn unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things?" That's a missionary talking. He's saying, listen, we've done some things for you spiritually, and we've sacrificed some things. Does it not make sense that you sacrifice with me? If you sent me out of the church, then you're responsible for me. And Paul tells these guys, and he gets on to them many times, about very few churches, were faithful without Paul getting on to them. There were some, but anyway, we got to keep moving. Back in 2 Corinthians, that first there is a willingness of a local church and individuals. They have to be willing to go. I can't say, Brother Leon, you're going to Africa. That's just not how it works. Unless you're a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or a Pentecostal. I mean, their church, or, you know, hey, you're going here and you're going here and you don't get a pick. But that's not scriptural. So there's a willingness of the church, and I love in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, if you want to flip over a few pages, there's so much in here, and I know that I'm going to try and give you about 4 weeks of study in about 20 minutes, so we're going to go fast. With the willingness of the local church and of the individuals to go, but in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, in verse 9, it says, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient unto you, that..." Now look here. "Who hath begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." He said, listen, a year ago, we started talking about this. A year ago, you should have been setting aside for the last year. He said, a year ago, and now it's time to give the offering. I mean, I know preachers preach about money a lot. Guess why? Because... that's close and dear to our hearts. and we need to hear out of the scripture to let go of it some of the time. And look what he says. "Forward a year ago, that though therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was readiness to will," so they're ready, they're willing, "so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to a man hath not." We'll probably come back to that verse. Because at first, Christ, he says in chapter 8, verse 9, he said, Jesus Christ is our example of missions. He's sitting on the throne in heaven, but yet he's the richest that could ever possibly be, but he came to earth to be a missionary so you and I could get the gospel and go to heaven someday. That's what a missionary does. They leave the comfort zone of America, which we've got far more than anybody else, and they go to some place, some stand across the world, and I guarantee you I don't want to go there. I don't want to live there, but praise God that there's somebody willing to go to India or Tajikistan or Cambodia. I mean, somebody's going to go there to spread the gospel, amen? And I'm glad it's not me. But God said, listen, it's not up to you. It's up to me to call them, and then it's up to me to send them, and it's up to you and I. Our part in missions is the financial and the prayer part. Now, he said in verse 11, he says, I'm not asking you to do something you don't already have. By the way, you have it. I'm not asking you to do anything, but God is. And let's keep reading there. It says, verse 12 says, "For if there be first," in chapter 8, "a willing mind, it is acceptable according to a man hath, and not according to the hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened." He says, you're not taking it all on yourself. It's not up to Miss Ethel to support a whole missionary by herself. He says, but all y'alls get together and we can do it. And he says, listen, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now here we go. You see the picture on the board? So here's some equality. I want treasures in heaven. Amen? Something last moth and rust doesn't eat up. Now, here I sit in comfortable little Dumas, Texas, in a nice air conditioner heated building and running water and all those good things that you got at home. We got that over here. Now we look at these guys over here. By the way, I've got abundance here of what? Resources and money and prayer time. I've got abundance of those things, amen? We've got it. And I'm not talking that you got to give $1 million and, oh, I forgot it. I did, went off and forgot it. I got a widow's mite. And I was going to show it to you how little it is about that big around. Ugliest coin ever made. And Jesus said it was the greatest treasure ever given. So if you think you can't do much, you go to the widow's mite. And Jesus said it was great. Amen. You may give $1 million because you won the lottery, and God could do more with the widow's mite than that. He could make that widow's mite go farther. Anyway, so what is our abundance here? It's physical, it's financial, it's prayer time, whatever. But we don't have an abundance in Dumas, Texas of Cambodian souls, do we? Or Tajikistan souls. We don't have an abundance. But now over here, the Travis family, they have an abundance of lost souls in Tajikistan. But I have no, I don't want to go there. So look what it says. It says, for by inequality. So to make us in Dumas and these guys in around the world equal, equality, that now at this time, your abundance may supply their need. And then what does it say? And that their abundance also may supply for your want. So if we're talking about souls and we're talking about finances, my abundance is making up for their shortcomings, and their abundance is making up for my shortcomings, that we may be equal. Make sense? I mean, it's pretty simple in the scripture. That by an equality, now that at their time, your abundance, that I'm telling you, they have an abundance of lost souls. And the only way we're going to reach them, I'm not going there. The only way we're going to reach them is send somebody. And the only way they're going to go is not at their own expense. It's going to cost money. Yes, it does. You look at there, turn your page to chapter 9. By the way, anyway, let me get back here. It says in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. In this life, maybe, but most likely not. You can give $1 million to missions, and you might probably not get it back in this life. But can you imagine what you're going to have in heaven? The souls that were saved by being financed by that kind of money? He says and he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully, or reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able. He says, listen, if it's in your heart first, it has to be willingness. Say, God, I'm willing to give it, Lord, as you provide it. I'm willing. I have to have a willing heart first. If you don't love missionaries, you don't have a willing heart. And I'm not talking about the tithe, because the tithe just shows you that you're obedient to God. You can follow the very basic, simple plan of giving. And that is the most basic, simple plan is the 10% tithe. If you don't give that, you're not giving an offering. By the way, this is an offering. That's not the tithe. Well, I'll cut my tithe back and put that. No, you got it all wrong. Don't cheat and rob God of the tithe. But if God lays something on your heart, say, he says, through your time in prayer this week, that I want you to give $10 a week. Well, I don't have $10 a week extra. But Lord, by faith, I'm going to trust you. And if you provide 10 extra dollars a week, I'm going to give it to missions. That's faith promise. Now listen, he says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Again, it's not the tithe. And we're not talking about reaping bountifully in Dumas, Texas. I may never meet the Cambodian that gets saved because the Shoals were willing to go there. But I will in heaven. And oh my goodness, can you imagine? If you've been faithful in missions for 50, 60, 70 years like some of you have, can you imagine how many people you're going to meet in heaven? You're not going to meet them on this earth. But you meet them in heaven and say, man, I'm so glad you gave $5 a week or $50 a week or whatever God lays on your heart. Don't shortchange God, because that verse says, and God is able. Not you. Doesn't say anything about what you make or how much you got in your wallet or bank account. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He said, God says, God is able, Paul said. He says, God's able to make all things sufficient for you. If he lays it on your heart, folks, give it to him. I only need another 3 weeks. God is able. By faith, I promise, as the Lord provides. If he lays an amount on your heart, he'll go take care of it. You just have to recognize that he did it. Well, I got that check in the mail, but that wasn't that. Now, that's not what it's talking about. Yeah, it is. I got that refund check, or I got that. Hey, yeah, it is. God provided extra, didn't he? Above and beyond what you were expecting or normally get. God does that, and man, does he do that. And as your faith increases and your faith promise increases, it'll blow your mind how God provides that. Your standard of living doesn't even drop, and God provides more. Okay, well, man, if the Lord said he'd do it this year, and he did, every week, then maybe, Lord, increase my faith. And I increase my faith promise, and year by year, many of you have seen, longer than I've been alive, that given to missions, how God provides it for you. God will take care of it. Listen, you say, well, how far back does this go? God said in Malachi 3, he said, what will men do? They'll rob me of tithes and offerings. So wait a minute. Now, the tithe is obedience. The tithe is required. But God's word said we could rob him of offerings. Say, well, that's not required. I don't have to do that. I have to do 10%. I do my 10%. I'm legitimate with God. If God lays it on your heart to give $10 a week or $50 a week or $500 a week, if God lays it on your heart and he provides it and you don't give it back to God, you're robbing God. That's what the Bible says. That's not Brother Guffey. But if you say, well, this is something new, this faith promise thing, this giving, this offering thing. Actually, it goes back to Genesis 4:4 and Abel. Why did Cain hate Abel? Because God accepted his offering and his tithe. You know, what does it say? That Abel tithe, he gave more than was required. It says that he gave the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. I mean, he gave the tithe. And then he gave a little above that to show how much I love you, God. I'm giving the firstling because I'm an obedient child, but I'm going to give you even more because I love you. And you know what it was? When Abel brought the tithe and the offering like that, it became worship. Giving is worship also. It's part of the worship service. When that plate passes you, that's not to pay the light bill. It's a part of worship. And it gives us an opportunity to give just a little bit back. But anyway, if God lays something on your heart and you disobey it, you are robbing God, according to Malachi. So giving to missions is sacrificial. Look over back at chapter 8. At chapter 8. In verse 2. He says, he's talking to the Corinthian church, and he says, how in that, in a great trial of affliction, an abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. You think you're too poor to give? He said, abounded unto riches of their liberality. He says these guys were so poor, they were living hand to mouth, and they gave to missions. Well, I'm too poor to give to missions. Not according to the Bible. Because God is able. Remember that part. Don't forget that part. For, now listen to what it says. For to their power I bear record. And he's talking about the churches of Macedonia. He's giving them an example. And we ought to be an example to another church. That they can say, man, that church down there in Dumas, they love missionaries. They give the missionaries. They treat missionaries great. That ought to be our testimony. And a preacher ought to be able to use that our testimony to another church. And that's exactly what Paul's doing. He's saying, you know that church in Macedonia? Let me tell you, they're poor as dirt. And they give. And their liberality of giving. And he says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. He says it was beyond comprehension what they were giving, as poor as they were. He says they were willing of themselves. And then they trusted God and said, he is able. I don't have it, God. I'm poor as dirt. But I would love to give the missions. So Lord, please, if you'd provide it, I'll give it. And that's what the Church of Macedonia was doing. He says, praying with us. Some of times, what they were giving was prayer. We ought to pray for missionaries. Praying with us, much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. For this they did, not as we hoped. He said, we weren't wanting an offering from them. They were too poor. We were trying to get them to not give us an offering. He says, they're pushing it on us. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I mean, I'm back up. I didn't finish the last part of that. That we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. They said, listen now, this is our way of being a part of this ministry and this fellowship. And by our gift, whether it be a widow's mite or $1 million, by this gift, now I become part of this. Reaping of this. That I can't do any other way. And I mean, think about it. Put it in perspective. Listen, here I am in Dumas, Texas. And I'm going over here with some dollars, and here comes what's over here, what they're liberal in. They have lots of to do. Souls. What are you at? Where are you laying your treasures up? Says then their deep poverty is more than they thought they could do, but they said he is able. So you say, man, Lord really is laying a number on my heart for faith promise this year that I don't see any way possible that could take place. But he is able. Listen, if he laid it on your heart, he is able. So what if he doesn't provide it? Then you don't give it. It's that simple. That's why it's called faith promise. You say, well, God didn't provide. First of all, take a good inventory and make sure God didn't provide, because he probably did if he laid it on your heart in the first place. Don't cheat God. If God gave it, give it back. God didn't give it. It's faith promise. If God provides, I'm going to give it. Man, I wish I'd have brought that widow's mite. That is such an ugly coin, but such a sweet story. I would love, could you imagine being there, Jesus looking down and seeing this little old widow woman walk in and drop that coin as big into your finger. Ugly, ugly coin. You can't even tell what the stamp is on it. And she dropped it in the treasury. And Jesus says she gave not of her tithe. She gave of her very existence. Amen. That was probably going to buy her meal for that day. The only meal she would probably eat. And Jesus said she gave greater than all. Those big fancy guys walking in. Right, that big old fat chick. Look what I did. And Jesus said, you didn't give nothing. Because you didn't give it with your heart. And that widow woman says, God is able. How about Elijah's widow? I love widows. I love widow ladies. Because you know what? God is so, he humbles us through widow ladies. Because those faithful to the ministry and continue in the ministry and don't quit. You're an encouragement to me. I know you are. And I appreciate you. Elijah's widow, I mean, she was given her last piece of bread. I mean, me and my son are going to eat this and die. And the man of God says, give it to me first. Wow. I know some preachers you might think, get over it. But if it's a true man of God said that, have faith. I'm telling you, that's what missions is, have faith in God. That meal barrel never ran out. That woman lived to the entire famine and never went hungry, and her child didn't go hungry. Never. Why? Because she had faith. And I'm going to tell you, if God lays something on your heart for missions and you give it, God is not going to let you starve to death. David said, I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. Now that's, how do you get over that statement? God is good. I don't care. God is good. Boy, we got 4 minutes to get through two more weeks. Cost missionaries their lives. If these guys are willing to go to, now John's been close to Cambodia. Ain't too much fun over there, is it, John? Yeah. My son's been to Tajikistan or some of those stands on his way to Afghanistan and landed all over the place. He brought me a rock from every place he landed. So I got a rock collection. But it costs missionaries to go there. They're giving up the comforts of Dumas, Texas. They're giving up good health care. Wait a minute. They may be in the VA system. They're giving up. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. VA system is better than what they're going to have. Now, that says something. They're going to give up. They're going to have babies in a foreign land, in a foreign hospital. Can you imagine that? And that difficult, different place, no support system. It cost them their lives. Then the Bible says, should it not cost you and me something? Why? How fair is that? For it not to cost me something, if they're willing to give of their lives, can I not give of my abundance? I have so much more than I need. God is so good to me. And I'm not rich by any means, but I'm still richer than the people that live in Tajikistan or Cambodia. God's just been good to us. Americans, we have got it good. And God says, listen, give of your abundance. That stuff that's overflowing your cup, yeah. You're not trusting God if you're stashing that in the mattress. If God lays it on your heart to give that to missions, we got to give it to missions. For time's sake, the Lord says, you reap what you sow. Now, that's a pretty scriptural phrase for giving and having a testimony and spreading the gospel. Well, I'm not seeing souls saved. Well, if you're not spreading the gospel, how is the seed ever going to be grown if you don't throw it? I got to close. I'm going to look at a verse, Hebrews chapter 11. Many of you know this by heart, but Hebrews chapter 11, explaining what faith is, the word faith. I've preached entire faith promise sermons on this, on Hebrews. Most of the time you go to Corinthians and through the epistles. But listen, he says now in verse 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith promise is not what you already have in the bank. Faith promises what you don't have in the bank, but you have faith in God to provide. He said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, we got an earth that there was nothing before. God has that. Now that ought to boost your confidence. If God can create this universe with the words of his mouth, can he not create a $10 bill in your wallet for this week? And that kind of, I mean, that's kind of silly, but when you put it in perspective, that's how big our God is. How hard would it be for him to provide what he lays on your heart to give this year. And then verse 4, it says, "For by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." I mean, his testimony of giving an offering is still talking to us, Abel. Abel. God says it's still a testimony. He's in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Why? Because he trusted God, gave more than he had to, and still loved God. And it was part of his worship. Listen, if this giving is a issue for you, don't give it. Amen. If you don't love missionaries, don't bother. Amen. But if you love missionaries, and you're going to learn to love some of these missionaries, this is going to be almost impossible to not give. When you learn to love the people that are going to be with us next week, and I have to stop, and I'm sorry. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being the example of missions and sending your Son to die on a cross for us so that we might have the gospel. And now we have missionaries that are willing to, out of their abundance, go and give up and sacrifice their lives, put their families in hardships and harm's way in order to spread the gospel so that we might receive an abundance of souls and reap bountifully in heaven one day because they sacrificed. Help us to realize our obligation in part of that. If they're willing, then we should be willing to do our part. Lord, help us to be faithful. Give us wisdom, Lord, that as we make a faith promise this year, that we trust in you and what you're capable of, not in what we're capable of. And that you, through that, Lord, you would increase our faith for the year. Whether you lay a widow's mite on our heart or $100, I don't know. That's between you and the individuals. Lord, I pray that you would help us this week. To remember that this is not a vow to the church. This is not a promise to the church. This is a promise to you. And Lord, as you lay it on our heart, that we be honest and that we give back what we have promised and we keep our vow to you. That's who we're making it to. Thank you for this, Lord. I pray to be with the service today, be with pastors as he brings the word. In Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen.